If you scan any set of statistics about the coronavirus pandemic, you'll see that people over 85 are most at risk. They also make up a significant number of the fatalities, with senior homes being hotspots for infection. What's it like to live with that kind of risk? Jacob Fenston, with member station WAMU, has spent the past couple of months getting to know an 85-year-old woman in Northern Virginia, and he brings us her story.
Margaret Sullivan lives in a retirement home high-rise just outside D.C. It's been on lockdown, as she calls it, since mid-March. No visitors and no one's supposed to leave.
We are being extraordinarily well taken care of, but we are also being carefully harbored.
The first time we talked on the phone, she told me maybe she wasn't a good fit for my reporting project. After all, she had a comfortable life with her husband, nothing remarkable. A few minutes later, she told me this.
My brother died about 2 weeks ago of the virus.
He was her younger brother, 72, and lived a few states away.
I'm the oldest and he's the youngest. That's outside the order of things.
For me, the pandemic has been about long days juggling kids and work. But for Margaret, the virus brings with it thoughts of mortality. It was nearly time to get off the phone.
You said you had to go at 10:30?
Well, I have to go in a few more minutes. This is another one. You need to be sure that the documents that the kids would need to have are in order. And so we're going downstairs to find the notary to sign the change of names in a will. Good morning. How are you?
About a week later.
I'm fine. How are the kids?
When we talk, Margaret genuinely seems to want to know about my kids.
One of the things we miss here now is that other people's grandchildren are not coming in.
After chatting about family, I asked Margaret to describe herself. She answered this way.
I'm a Rolling Stone. I was born in China. My father was a doctor of public health and parasitology. I lived there until I was six, and the war started or was going to start, and we came back to the United States.
The war being World War II. Later, when she was in high school, the family moved to Burma, then India. She moved to D.C. for college. She got married.
We joined the Foreign Service. He was the only one who got paid.
She says they lived and raised kids around the equator, hopping from country to country in Asia and Africa. Margaret says that life put her in the path of a number of epidemics, from Lassa fever to Ebola.
There's a sense in which this is new and startling and different and much more concerning. But there's another sense in which this is something I've seen, and I don't know whether it makes me more comfortable or less comfortable.
I asked Margaret to record her thoughts and experiences from inside the lockdown.
You came back to get your mask.
Yeah.
In this recording, her husband Dan interrupts her looking for his mask.
Okay, here it is.
Margaret is a writer. Sure. She's written books about her globe-trotting life. Now she's documenting her life under lockdown, things like teaching Dan to wear a mask.
Dan, it needs to go over your nose.
Margaret and Dan have been married for 65 years. He's 91 and has mid-stage Alzheimer's. Margaret says as the patterns of daily life change, his confusion increases.
He's good about picking up and taking things to the sink. I may have to remind him that the sink is where the sink is.
Margaret jokes about the situation, and she keeps busy scheduling Zoom calls with her kids and grandkids. But as the weeks drag on, heaviness settles in.
I find myself very seriously feeling hollow. It just sort of, there's a bog, and I'm caught in it.
There's the day, April 8th, when she ends her recording this way.
Today's my brother's birthday, and he isn't here for me to call. And so my heart breaks a bit on that, too.
In late April, the retirement home where Margaret lives had its first coronavirus case. All the residents had to get tested.
The swab goes up your nose. It doesn't hurt very much, but they did it for everybody. And everybody sort of held their breath a bit till you get the results.
Margaret says 9 people tested positive, 2 of them died. It made her very aware, she says, of the world of risk she lives in. Then, last weekend, the Sunday New York Times came, the edition marking 100,000 deaths in the United States.
And I just knew.
The front page, 6 columns of names in small print.
We brought it in, and as we always do, there was coffee in the paper. And I knew he had to be there.
She found her brother's name halfway down the first column. Like each name, it was followed by a tiny obituary, a whole life condensed into four words.
For Ted, they said that he could make anything grow. And he could.
For NPR News, I'm Jacob Fenston.